This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
And a good Wednesday morning to you and yours. It is VSiN by the Books, Dave Ross, right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. There's our closer, Jensen Lewis, back in Cleveland, Ohio. Jensen, I love being here. I love you being where you are for the show. But if I could be anywhere today, you and I would be on the grounds at Shinnecock Hills in the Hamptons, yeah, getting ready for the United States Open. My man, we're only 24 hours away. Are you ready for America's golfing championship?
Yeah, a watchful eye on the weather. We do have a few friends that do reside there in the Hamptons, and perhaps we will take by the books on the road. We know that our esteemed producer, Joe Friso, just a helicopter ride away from Manhattan to meet us out there. So great to be here. World Cup in full force, my friend. It is weird now to kind of put basketball and hockey in the rear view, albeit we do have the respective drafts upcoming next week. Mm-hmm. So anxious to see how it all plays out. And oh, by the way, starting to get that bug here for football, my friend. I did a little more research for our VSiN NFL betting guide. I think I'm pretty close on divisional winners, on conference champs, maybe even a Super Bowl selection. So the drip, 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 we're going to start to get a full monsoon coming here for football. No question about it.
I can already see how you prepared for exams in high school and at Vanderbilt versus the way I did. I was a crammer, and you are a thoughtful, and let's play it out here day by day. There's a reason why you went to Vandy and I went to VCU. Great show lined up today. Jonathan Von Tobel will be on the program as he does each and every Wednesday. Carl Paulson, old buddy of mine from high school, and now big-time star here in the world of golf. You can hear him on SiriusXM. Always love busting Carl's chops. Can't wait to get his thoughts. He's there on the grounds getting ready for the United States Open. And our Wednesdays with Wes. Wes Reynolds will be on here as well. Can't wait to see what darts he's going to be throwing in. Is this a long shot tournament, or do you play the hits here with the chalk? We'll get to all of that, but you mentioned it, the World Cup, the stars were out. That's where we begin today's edition of our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
You know, we had all the draws, if you will, 48 hours ago. And then yesterday, Jensen, it got a little chalky. It got a little bit heavy to the way of the faves with Argentina, France, and Norway all getting it done yesterday. Jensen, I don't want to say that order was restored in the World Cup, but if you're looking for the big boys to lay some wood, you saw it yesterday.
Certainly. The headline by the hat trick from Lionel Messi, tying the World Cup record with 16 goals, an incredible individual performance. We cashed the Argentina money line in the under 3.5 parlay there. Erling Haaland, thank you very much. His first World Cup goal, the over 2.5 gets there in the first half. Appreciate Iraq and their participation trophy award in that opening match. But the bad beat of the tournament, surfaces yesterday. It was great to have Chris Basile on with us. And I tell you, injury stoppage time, the bane of my existence in this World Cup. That was a dead under with France 2-0 heading into stoppage time. And then we get two goals in the final 5 minutes. I don't even like you anymore, Kylian Mbappe. But hey, France does what they were supposed to do. It was dicey. It was dicey there for Les Bleus. They needed to kind of get it going. I love Thierry Henry, great friend of the show. On the post game, he said France was arrogant, but they can do that because they're that talented. And then finally, Dave, the stars, as you mentioned, Mbappe from France, Haaland from Norway, Messi from Argentina, anytime goal parlay, paid you out 9-1. Even the squares cashing some wagers yesterday and having a great, great day.
I thought you were going to tell me that he said that he loves VSiN by the books. I'm sure he does. By the way, Francis now moved up a little bit, 4-1 now as a betting favorite to win this World Cup. Argentina does come down to dollars, the reigning defendings. Remember, they were 10-1, down to 9-1. Spain stays in the second betting choice there at plus 550. I mentioned it, getting really excited here for this U.S. Open. I did do a lot of homework on this yesterday. Did have some wagers that I added to the card. We'll get to those as the show goes today. Jensen, you do have to play Weatherman. I mean, we've been talking a lot about it. We talked about it for the UFC when they were playing, fighting on Sunday night. We had to worry about weather in Washington, D.C. The same will be true here outside of the Hamptons here as we get ready for this playing of the United States Open at Shinnecock. And I don't know yet if we can favorably say that the early wave will be the better wave on Thursday, but that's the way it does appear right now as we discussed 24 hours away from getting this thing teed up.
Yeah, let me tee you up here, because looking at the broader portion of where the Eastern Seaboard is, you got tropical storm warnings all over the south, which is going to push some of that precipitation, you know, up towards Southampton, New York. And you kind of talked about it. It bears repeating. The gusts are upwards of 30 miles an hour. And it does look, Dave, as though we are going to be comfortable temperature-wise. It looks like the precipitation has died down, so perhaps – you know, some of that tropical front and those issues south are going to stay southern enough to not really affect it rain-wise. But, buddy, I think we're in for some wind. That really helped me on Bet the Builds, especially for round one. I am anxious to see where you went here, because I know that is a critical part of the handicap, especially first-round leaders. So anxious to see where you went on that front.
We're going to hear from Scottie Scheffler later on, because, again, he can complete the career Grand Slam here. Somebody also said to him, is this kind of American Link-style course? And not to say that he bristled at the answer, but it was an interesting answer in that, like, no, it's, you know, this is not the British Open. I know it looks linksy, but you still got to get the ball up in the air, and in that wind, it can be difficult. So we'll break that down as the show goes today. How about this? Cam Jordan has re-signed with the Saints. This will be his 16th and final season, 8-time Pro Bowler. I think when you think Saints and defense, this is clearly the guy you think of, Jensen. I guess the question is, how much does he have left in the tank for a team that I think some people might have high hopes for this year?
Oh, my gosh. I think it is one of the great – however you want to look at it, you know, the bounty issues from his earlier days with the Saints, you know, that was always one of the strikes against that group. He was kind of the guy at the forefront there and in the trenches, but man, you can't deny. I mean, half the time he's been in the NFL, he's been a Pro Bowler, one of the guys you look at. And when you think New Orleans Saints, you really think of Cam Jordan immediately outside of Drew Brees and some of the other greats of the modern era. So, the last dance indeed. Got to tell you, Dave, I know you're high on the Falcons. Kellen Moore and the boys, a little sneaky down there in the Bayou. Could be a very interesting Saints squad come the regular season.
Jensen, first rule of Fight Club, or when we put out our NFL guide, is we do not discuss Fight Club. We cannot give away our secrets yet. By the way, you mentioned it there with the bounty gate and all that. That was Greg Williams back when he was there with New Orleans, and I covered Greg in D.C., and I always felt like that was kind of misconstrued a little bit. But again, it feels like that Cam Jordan maybe bore the brunt of that. I don't know that it was as dire as people made it out to be at the time. For Vegas, this is something you and I talked about. We thought that this was a short-term arrangement with Torts and VGK, and it is official. John Tortorella will not be coming back to coach the Golden Knights next year. And I don't know if this means that he's going to get a gig elsewhere. But again, this is exactly what he signed up for. I don't feel like this is any way of, you guys are doing me wrong or I'm doing you wrong. I think this was the handshake agreement by all parties involved, and they all seem very happy, if you will, with what they got out of it short term, but this was not a long-term solution.
Yeah, agreed. And kind of moving forward here, it is remarkable. I think we need to underline that fact of stepping in when he did, the whole Bruce Cassidy issue. Yeah. Notwithstanding, I mean, just taking it from the athlete standpoint, like when you have that kind of upending, if you will, I mean, that's tough to stomach in knowing you're heading into the postseason. I have seen that Ryan Craig, and again, a longtime guy in the organization there, I believe since 2017, he was part of the 2023 Stanley Cup staff that won it. It seems like he is the front runner, and no shock that he would be. John Stevens, also veteran assistant, has been rumored to be high on the list. So those are the two names I've seen early. I would imagine the organization does their due diligence all the way around. But yeah, keeping it in-house, Dave, kind of feels like the succession plan. So anxious to see what they do here this offseason.
The third betting choice to hoist Lord Stanley's Cup next year, VGK, plus 850. I would just say until we know who that is and if it is going to be a first-timer, let's see how that works out. I would not be rushing to the window to play that number here today a year out. And I'll be curious to see if Torts wants to coach, because I think this was a great renaissance for him. If he wants to coach elsewhere, I would believe there'd be a team that'd be willing to bring him on. Good calls by you. Final Four is set here in Omaha. You had mentioned West Virginia that you might want to get them if they didn't. If you did not, I asked you the question yesterday. You had nothing in pocket. Who would you look at? They were about 17-1 a day ago. Those numbers have been shorted. We're down to the Final Four here in Omaha.
Rare that you see two shutouts in Omaha on the same day. And also the night game with Georgia and Texas. So you had two offenses that have been really good. But all's well that ends well if you're a Georgia Bulldog. So back in the fight, and West Virginia absolutely pace the Troy Trojans. Shout out, though, to Skylar Mead and company. What a renaissance. And if you did not see the images and video of the Troy Super Regional, I highly encourage you to go back. That is what college sports is all about. So we do have our Final Four day, West Virginia and North Carolina today at 2 p.m. North Carolina wins. They move on to the College World Series final. West Virginia wins. They have a winner-take-all game tomorrow. Georgia and Oklahoma, the nightcap, same scenario. Oklahoma wins. They're into the final. Georgia wins. We do it all over again tomorrow. So a lot at stake here. But I'll tell you, this has got the theater and the drama, everything at stake here for a chance to get into that national title round.
West Virginia, by the way, yesterday's price is not today's price. Yesterday in the program, 17-1. Today, 10-1. So $7, Jensen. That's with that win against Troy. That's how short they got here overnight. Again, North Carolina is the odds-on favorite to get it done at minus $1.10. Much more football to get to, including what's going on in Big D with old number three, George Pickens. Is all is well in Cowboy Land, or should there be some issues that we should discuss? We'll discuss those next right here on VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Are you ready for football season? We are here at VSiN. Next week, we're going to release our NFL betting guide. It's packed with everything you need to attack futures, win totals, divisional races, and the upcoming season. You can lock in that early bird pricing on our football special for just $175 and be among the first to get the guide when it drops next Monday. So the sooner you sign up, the more value you will get. Full access to everything we do across every sport through the Super Bowl. That is in February, of course. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings, Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and so much more. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Jensen Lewis, Dave Ross here with you on this Wednesday edition. Much more golf talk to come throughout the program today as we're on the eve of the United States Open. But we mentioned off the top that Cam Jordan will come back for his 16th and what will be his final season in the NFL. So says Cam, 8-time Pro Bowler. We know the history and what he means to this organization. And again, we're not going to relitigate Bountygate and all that with Greg Williams was there in charge of the defense. But Cam comes from that type of cloth that you can go back to those days when, you know, defense was kind of in vogue back then in those days for the Saints. Look, I don't know how his leadership and what he brings now in year 16 is invaluable to any locker room, Jensen. But I guess tangibly, how important is this for a young football team that I think you have high hopes for? And Cam still is the leader of that defense to help a budding offense on the other side. Maybe those two units might have some success this year.
Absolutely. This reminds me like Trot Nixon for when my rookie year in 2007 with the Indians. It wasn't the wasn't the same guy he was, you know, in the early 2000s helping the Red Sox to win a World Series. But was that proven leader, that unquestioned guy you go to with anything? So same way for Cam Jordan in my eyes, exactly as you illuminated it. Still the leadership, the institutional knowledge. I mean, he's been there, done that, knows exactly the ins and outs. But he's still pretty good at the pass rush, okay? Like, that's still going to be an asset for the group. And I think, again, you kind of treat him in a way that is an associate head coach almost for your defense. Yeah. Just someone that has such a wealth of knowledge and can really infuse a lot of help to your group. So I love the quote. He said, "No amount of money in the league that can make me say, just turn your back on everything that you built." What a great way to kind of look at, you just never take for granted, Dave, the opportunity to be able to put on the pads, to put on the uniform, take the field. You never know when it's over, because when it is, you look back and you don't realize it until it happens. They're like, damn, I miss competing. You don't miss all the work, Dave. You don't miss all the 2-a-days and the mini camps and all the crap. You definitely miss, you know, the leverage points, making the big plays and partying with your boys. That's for sure.
Yeah, amen. I'd say this. There's a lot of talking, just kind of related field here with Justin Gaethje, whether or not he should walk off into the sunset after what happened Sunday night. And I keep saying, I'm not going to retire these guys. I'm not going to tell Cam Jordan what to do with his career. Because as you mentioned, once it's done, it's done. And you can never get that camaraderie back, certainly in those locker rooms. I hope that George Pickens gets that sense as well. And maybe he is. And I saw this yesterday. Yeah. Of course, George did report here to the Cowboys, to their mandatories. And again, he signed the franchise tag, and if you want to disrespect me for $27.3 million guaranteed fully for this year, then go ahead and insult me, Jensen, all the way. Yeah. I don't know that George looks at it that way. Let's hear from Pickens, because, again, sometimes he feels like he can be a lightning rod inside of locker rooms. We know how talented he is. Here's what George had to say about being back to work for the Cowboys.
Oh, definitely just to help the team, like the tag and all that. It's football first. You see what I mean? So definitely play football first, kind of like I did last year, and then worry about, well, let my agent worry about it, really.
Yeah.
I kind of like all of that. Like, yes. You know, that's why you have agents in this business and whatever professional business you might be in, and you go do the work. Like, you go show up. And as long as George is doing what he is required to do, Jensen, again, as I mentioned yesterday in the program, I've got no problem with it. As long as it stays to that level. And the Cowboys, by the way, for their part, we're not going to renegotiate now. Like, this is done. We're going to get through the year, and then we're going to talk. So, really, Jensen, I don't know how much more there is to add to that. As long as it doesn't become problematic at the end of the year, if it goes south, I think this is a good way to start off a franchise tag year.
I agree, and I think also what makes this easier to swallow, if I'm the player, is look at the trigger man who's getting me the ball. Yeah. You know that it is going to be a plethora of opportunities. You got your running mate, CeeDee Lamb, on the other side, who's going to draw all kinds of attention. So I'll harken back to a personal experience, Dave. I had an amazing campaign in 2010. I was a Super 2, and I was headed to arbitration a year early. And my agent and I went back and forth. There were two offers on the table. One was a higher offer for $725,000. It was a non-guaranteed deal. The other one was a guaranteed $650,000. Now, I did have a little George Pickens in me at that point. I'm like, kind of feel a little slighted here. Like, have you seen the track record? Have you seen what I've done? And cooler heads prevail here. My agent and I sat down, and we kind of came to that ultimate decision of, hey, take the guarantee. You know, you have your money, and then just go ball out, and we'll take them for three times as much the next year. And so I think that's kind of the idea here. By the way, when I wrote it down in my division winner pick, I wrote down Cowboys, and then I deleted it.
Oh.
And then I rewrote it. And I'm not saying that because you're here, but I kept going back and I'm like, okay, I can see the Eagles making the playoffs. I can see them happening, you know, where they need to. I am very intrigued. And I'll ask you, Dave, you watch the NFC East as close as anybody here on the network. Without AJ Brown, yes, the drama is gone. But now all of a sudden, doesn't that change the attack for Jalen Hurts and company? Like, to me, if you're asking me, you got one game to win. Here are the skill sets that we're gonna give you: Dak, CeeDee, and George Pickens, or we're gonna give you Jalen Hurts, Devonta Smith, and then insert name here. I'm kind of in your camp this year, looking at where the Cowboys offensively, I think they could win me more games than lose it with that arsenal.
I couldn't play the Eagles at plus $1.10 to win the division. We'll get to our official picks here next week, and we don't want to give it all away today, but I'm picking up what you're putting down. You know, say what you want about A.J. Brown. That's a big-bodied receiver they have in New England, and they're excited to have him there because those are kind of rare. They're different guys. I can go back to the Michael Irvin days in Dallas when they were winning championships and getting that big-body guy. Those are hard to replicate there. George is a physical receiver. So is CeeDee Lamb. And they can both run. So they're kind of those hybrids out there. There's not a lot of George Pickens and CeeDee Lambs in the world. I really do like, as long as they stay healthy, keep Dak upright, and the offensive line should be better this year, that offense feels like a full steam ahead go for the Dallas Cowboys. If the defense can at least be average this year, which I think they can, we'll get to those changes later on as weeks go. Yeah, I like what you're saying, not just with my heart, but also with our heads here. Win total 9.5, over $2 right now, plus 235 to win the division. I think that's a pretty good price point. You are right. I am high on the Dirty Birds down there in the ATL. Michael Penix, by the way, has not been cleared for 11-on-11s, Jensen. You know this. I'm sure you've been to camps before, and you know these are non-contact drills. So it's not like he's going out there to be hit. He's going to be protected anyway, and yet he's not even eligible to go in those drills yet. I know it's June, but the reason why I kind of like this, not – obviously, the injury situation, but is that it's quarterback, to me, independent. It's not quarterback dependent. I think the Cowboys play is quarterback dependent. Dak Prescott has to be healthy, or else it could really go south there down in Big D. Here, I think you've got two for the price of one. I think Tua is going to be much, much better this year. Clearly, he's going to be the guy. Like, this facade of Michael Penix playing week one, when you hear news like this, Jensen, and you should check those betting markets out there, people. This tells me everything I need to know. It's going to be Tua's job, and I don't care what they tell you about open competition and all that with Kevin Stefanski. It's going to be his job until he can't do the job any longer.
Totally agree. You just made me think of Bo Nix. And again, I know a lot predicated around will he be healthy by week one. Apparently, he did participate in individual drills at the mandatory minicamp beginning yesterday. I am seeing Sean Payton say, quote, looks good as new, ahead of schedule, could be full go right now. Would that change how you look early on at the Denver Broncos and maybe even a long-term look, knowing mobility is a huge part of his game?
Well, you know how this works too, Jensen, right? If there's a player you want to play, Sean Payton wants Bo Nix to play, and no disrespect to Jared Stidham or anybody else there, but it's like, hey, man, if we had a play today, he could go, right? He's letting you know, guys, he's going to be just fine week one. Meanwhile, down in the ATL, I think it's a very different approach. Hey, we're going to take our time because we got another guy. We want the other guy to be the guy. So you can read between the tea leaves here as to which organizations are ready to plug and play their quarterback, whether they're 100% or not. That's Bo Nix in Denver. And certainly they're going to slow roll Michael Penix, and I think they should. I think it is smarter with a guy that maybe the confidence was a little bit down as well. It's not as easy when you have repeated injuries to your legs like Michael Penix has had throughout his career. So I think eventually this will be a good long-term solution to have two quarterbacks, but right now that's Tua's job down in the ATL. It's not Michael Penix's job, and I think you're right. Bo Nix and certainly Sean Payton, they are chomping at the bit to get out there for week number one. Let's catch up with JVT and see what he thought of the NBA final that's come and gone, and who will be the number one pick of the draft. That's next right here on VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We're going to bet the bill for the United States Open in the next segment. Give you a couple golfers to keep an eye on if you haven't made those bets yet, 24 hours away. But we look forward to our conversations every Wednesday with JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel. He is the host of Money Moves with Stormy Bonnetoni. That is weekdays, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern here in the network. Check out the Pod to the Futures podcast with he and Mitch Moss as well. Give him a follow on X at me, JVT, and joins us here in the Progressive Guest Line. Jonathan, we're going to get to the NBA because, of course, I think we think of you as one of our NBA experts here in the network, which you are. But I want to ask you a little bit about some football because we've got the big betting guide coming out next Monday. Now, you don't have to tip your hand and tell America exactly what you're going to be betting, as Jensen and I are trying to hold. We're like thoroughbreds being held back by the bit because we want to tell everybody what we like. But I know you've done some work here for the betting guide here, a couple divisions that you're looking at. Is there any play that you can kind of wet the whistle for the people out there before they get the guide next Monday?
Yeah, well, I'll give you two things. First off, I did write the AFC East, which is an interesting division, obviously very top-heavy, Buffalo being favored, the Patriots, the reigning AFC champs out there as well, both with win totals of 10.5. And then you get two teams that are very near the favorite when you're talking about worst record of the NFL in both the Jets and the Dolphins. I would say that one of the things that intrigues me is I don't like the Jets, but I do think they're a candidate to potentially go over their win total. One of the sneaky things about Geno Smith last year when you saw him suck it up for the Las Vegas Raiders was actually, if you look at the metrics in which he was kept clean, which was barely over 50%, he actually performed very well, guys, last year when he was kept clean. The problem is he was constantly under duress. So the whole point here being, if Frank Reich, their new offensive coordinator, can give him something to work with in terms of a clean pocket, I don't think they're going to be a destitute team in any way, shape, or form. You get to beat up on the Dolphins, who you should beat twice if you're a competent enough to a team, and then maybe pick off some opponents in your schedule as you move forward. And remember, too, and I wrote about this in the guide, and we, you know, the format of the guide, not to give anything away, but we kind of put it in some of the three burning questions for these teams. And one of my questions for the Jets was, will the special teams magic continue? This was the best special teams unit in the National Football League last year. For those who don't remember, they led in field goal percentage, average kickoff return distance. They made all of their extra point attempts. They didn't have that many. They were tied for the league lead in special teams touchdowns. And Chris Banjo, their special teams coordinator, is back. If you get those little additions at the margins, if you get just better Geno Smith, and you can't be worse defensively than you were a season ago, and they added some pieces there, I think the Jets can be sneakily competent to the point where maybe they get to 6 wins. So I don't know if that's good for Jets fans, but I came out thinking that maybe the Jets aren't going to be awful and that they're going to be good enough at the very least to push for 6 wins so far this year.
Yeah, a great friend of the program, Bob with Shoes, and hopefully more extra points to call this year on the play-by-play there. More things to look at, too, in the NBA futures market. We'll get your thoughts on kind of the fallout with the Knicks now as champions, but maybe an early look for you, JVT, things that have caught your eye already in that way-too-early futures market.
Yeah, so I was out at a local watering hole on Sunday when I had returned from a trip to Florida, and Mitch Moss and I were out there watching the UFC Freedom Card along with the NHL game with some friends. Ooh. And we were discussing some futures, and Mitch and I have been kind of lockstep on one team out there in the Western Conference, and it's funny because they're going to be picking number 2 in the NBA draft lottery coming up here, or in the NBA draft next week. Utah Jazz are going to be a really good team next year, guys. I think that if you look at the way their roster is constructed, they present so many different challenges in terms of both size and spacing. We'll see what happens with Walker Kessler. That's getting a little noisy in terms of what they've been doing with him and the extension and what he wanted versus what they wanted. But assuming they can keep Kessler, and even if they can't, we're talking about a giant team that that can boast 3 guys that are sitting around 6'10 in that front court, but that can also space the floor to the point where it's going to be a problem for some of these teams to figure out what they want to do with them. Kante George was on his way to winning Most Improved Player before they decided to kind of shut him down as the season went along. They've got really good bench pieces and guys that came along strong, especially at the end of the year. They got some extra run. Oh, and by the way, as you mentioned, you've got the number 2 pick. So you might walk out of this draft with either AJ Dabanca, Darren Peterson, Carlos Boozer's son, Cam Boozer. Carlos, by the way, a scout in the front office there in Utah. The Jazz are going to be much better than where the market's pricing them. So he did 2 things. One, Mitch and I both got him at 150-1 to win the Western Conference. That's still out there in the range of 100-1, and I think that's very much worth investing in. And the other, to invoke follow the money, you know, they play the clip from Kevin from The Office. You know, if they give you 10,000-1 odds on anything, you take it. I did put a small bet on the Jazz Hornets exact matchup in the NBA Finals.
Oh, my God.
At 10,000 to 1 as well to have a little bit of fun, because I think the Hornets are going to be pretty good too. But I think the real legitimate bet there is I do think they're mispriced in that range of 150 to 100-1 to win the Western Conference.
Don't say that to Adam Silver. He's just coming off one of the highest rated series they've ever had. And then you're throwing out Jazz and Hornets next year, JVT. He'll lose his mind. You know, you look at the draft coming up here in what, about 8-9 days here, and AJ Dabanca is the presumptive number 1 pick in this draft. Could we get chaos? Or is it right now, do you think, too late for anybody to really upset the apple cart, whether it's Peterson or Boozer or Caleb Wilson out at UNC? Is it going to be Dabanca or bust as the number 1 pick?
I don't think so. I think that we could, I guess by chaos, by the market standards, Dave, we could get it. There's been a couple of things that have developed here over the last couple of days that would suggest that maybe that's going to be the case. So first off, I want to take you guys back like a month or so ago. Jonathan Givony was on with Zach Lowe on his podcast that he does now for The Ringer. And I'm paraphrasing what Givony said, but he says, I don't understand what this presumption is that A.J. Tabanca is head and shoulders better than Darren Peterson as a prospect. Peterson's always been the better player. Guys, they played each other in college, and Peterson was the better player in both instances. Mm-hmm. And yet there seems to be this odd perception from the public that Tabanca's just going to be the guy. He is very clearly in the mix to potentially go number one, but there's been a couple of things. First off, the news the other day that Peterson has decided to only meet with the Washington Wizards. It seems that he would really like to go either to Washington, or some reports are indicating that he wants to skip Utah entirely and maybe fall to Memphis, that would be the preference. But he believes that he will be going number one, according to Shams Charania, and thus he has cut off meetings with all these other teams save for the Washington Wizards. We get a report from Jake Fisher the other day, guys, that the Wizards all of a sudden not only are getting calls about Trae Young, but they might be shopping him. And so that makes a lot of sense as well. One of the things that I think a lot of people keep saying is, well, you can't have Peterson, you can't have Trae Young, two ball dominant guards that don't really fit together. Well, we have two pieces of news that tie together pretty nicely. Peterson says he only wants to go to Washington and is only meeting with them. And then the lead ball handler that hasn't even played for them yet is all of a sudden on the market and potentially could be on the move. I think there's a higher chance than not that it is actually Peterson that goes number one. You know, you can look around. Wow. You can find places like, you know, prediction markets, Polymarket are at 4-1. I've got him at +340 to go first overall. And I would just say this to the point of chaos, Dave, two things. The first of which is we did not think Paolo Banchero was going to be the first overall pick until he was. We can go down the list of these drafts in which we thought the order was set and it did not happen. And the other is I think that there is a higher chance than not, and I think the exact order is about 33-1 out there, that we actually end up going Peterson, Boozer, and Tabanca 1, 2, and 3. His father's in the front office. Reportedly, there's more than just his father that likes Cam Boozer in that spot. Invoking once again what's going on with Walker Kessler. Maybe he gets shipped off. Maybe you want to add Boozer to get some more size in the front court, whatever it is. I just think that the market's been really locked in here on a certain order, and I just don't buy that considering what some of the rumblings have been. And just the fact that I think Peterson is the best prospect in this draft, and some high-end scouts are saying the exact same thing. So I bet Peterson to go one, and I do have Tabanca to go 3 at 25-1, and that order is specifically is out there at 33-1.
JVT, I just checked Novig, and I just popped it with your advice there, +525 for Peterson to go number one overall. So love that. Oh, yeah. Great insight. One quick follow-up on the top 10. I mean, first of all, it looks like it's just a clean sweep of freshmen. That in and of its own right is kind of crazy to think about. Any props there? I know you just talked about number one, number three. Anything else you like in the top 10?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of names that we should probably keep an eye on here as we're getting closer to the draft, which is oddly enough on a Tuesday this coming year. But the first of which is I do think number five is going to be, and many do, the pick, right, that really starts everything. Because whatever order it is, we know the top four are going to be Tabanca, Peterson, Boozer, and then Caleb Wilson seems to be very much locked in at number four. But number five, you guys have this in terms of favorite by pick. Mychal Brown Jr. at number five has really risen up some boards. The Clippers, if they make the pick, meaning that if it's going to be a player that they keep, have reportedly been coveting a bigger guard to put next to Darius Garland. So it'd either be Brown Jr. or it would be Brayden Burries coming out of Arizona. So I think those are two names to keep an eye on, because for the longest time, it was actually Keaton Wagler who's been put into that spot. But I do think there's a pretty good chance that it's actually Brown or Burries that's going to go there with that fifth overall pick. Mm. And I would say this, at number six, it's the Brooklyn Nets. There are some reports that either the Nets or the Clippers would force the Kings' hand, because they reportedly really want Darius Acuff, and take him in one of those picks to then force them to trade up. But I don't think the Clippers are going to do that, especially with the news that maybe they want Giannis Antetokounmpo with that pick. So in other words, instead of betting Darius Acuff under 6.5 at a -140, -145, I think it is, just bet him to go six overall, +175. I think that makes a little bit more sense. I think that's kind of where he is going to land if you think he's going under that prop, because I don't think the Clippers are going to go there. And the last one really quickly, Ade Mara, he's over 2-1 to go inside of the top 10. I'm going to be interested to see if that's going to happen. But I think Mara is one of those guys that could rise a little bit here. And if you can find some good draft positions, which I'm still looking for, I would like to bet him.
Just wish you were locked into the NBA draft next Tuesday. Great stuff. Check out Tony and Stormy. I'm sure you'll talk some U.S. Open later on today too, right?
We are World Cup. Maybe a little WNBA. We're covering it all, buddy.
You're the best. Jonathan Von Tobel, give him a follow at MeJVT. We're back talking U.S. Open next right here. VSiN by the books.
Betting Network.
I don't think she...
You're tuned in to VSiN by the books right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the books, and the Circa 2026 football contests are open for business. You don't have to live in Vegas in order to play. After your required in-person registration, I mean, what a chore that is, Jensen. Winner's Circle Proxy is going to handle your weekly submissions so you can make your picks from anywhere in the United States. Winner's Circle Proxy is VSiN's preferred proxy service. One trip to Vegas, play all season long anywhere in the United States. Schedule your appointment now at winnerscircleproxy.com. A lot of fun having JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel, on in the last segment. Check out he and Stormy here weekdays on the network, 2 to 4. And again, please like, subscribe to the VSiN by the Books podcast. Take a listen to that conversation in your time. You know, we were in break, and I wanted to know, because he mentioned he and Mitch had watched Freedom 250 out there in Las Vegas, because that was, again, opposite, you know, VGK and the Stanley Cup Final. So you knew there were going to be a lot of eyeballs out there, certainly on the hockey. And, Jensen, when I came in here yesterday and talked to some of the people here at Circa about the viewership here at the Mint Gaming Hall, and I stayed at home because it was super late, and we have the show to do in the morning, of course, and they said it was packed. So the impact of what that card might have done. And shout out to Rob Moreno. He and I will do First Strike later on today. Shameless plug, wherever you get your podcast there. We'll discuss this more. But it seems like, Jensen, $33 million is what they're saying Paramount Plus got for this event. I think this might be one of those demarcation lines that we look back on years later, and they look back at that card Sunday night as kind of maybe the day MMA came to life for those that were not privy to it before.
Just to give people an idea on that $33 million, if you look at just all the way back in 2022 on Thanksgiving Day for Giants Cowboys, that was $42.1 million.
Wow.
When you look at 2025 Bengals Ravens, Thanksgiving night was $44.7 million, surpassing that previous high of $34.5 million. So again, you're starting to get, at least for that one, into pretty rare air. You get into NFL rating territory. That's why Dana White was smiling ear to ear and said, I'm going to let Paramount go ahead and tell you the number, but I know it, and it looks really, really ridiculously good.
As AB once said, business is booming, and it really is booming right now, that's for sure. We can't wait for the United States Open, our national championship, to get underway. Remember, Canada just had theirs with the RBC. Bud Cauley wins that. We're going to get to the British Open, the Open Championship, the oldest of the four, to wrap up major season here next month, and we can't wait for that as well. But it is ours. It's different. It's special. And it's tough, and we know that it's not going to be easy. And as we say, the hard is what makes it good sometimes. So we'll talk to Carl Paulson and Wes Reynolds later on in the program to get their perspectives, obviously from a handicapping side from Wes and from a guy in Carl playing this game at the highest level and being at the course. Because I think you should start looking at guys and what those target scores can be. Is even par good enough to win? Do you have to go 5-6 under? Will it play like Arana McDid at the PGA Championship here last month as well, which was very tough as well, single digits for those guys as well. So, Jensen, I wanted to give you two to look out for. And what I mean when I give these picks out, there's one long shot and one shorter shot that I have on my card this week. And I got there in two different ways here. It's the battle of the Cams. I am all in on the Cams this week. One from America, one from Australia. Cameron Young and Cameron Smith. Now, I don't want to tip my hand completely here in the Cameron Smith side here, but if you're looking for a longer shot, the fairways have been widened this year at Shinnecock. I don't want people to get the false sense of, oh, this is going to play easy. That's not what we mean. But for guys who can be a little bit errant off the tee, and that would be Cameron Smith. I don't have that concern with Cameron Young. I think he could bring in some of those type of players that sometimes off the tee can be a liability. That's going to help out the Cameron Smiths of the world. Why do I like Cameron Young this week? In placement markets, if you want to bet him outright, not going to be mad at you there. Bulldog mentality, toughness, New York mentality from a New Yorker that he brings this week to Shinnecock Hills. I think he's one of those dog and bone type guys that once you get that and he's got that in his mouth, he's going to fight it the whole way. And I think mentally, a guy like Cameron Young will be there. A guy like Cameron Smith is one of the best putters in the world. And I think certainly that's going to be advantageous on greens that can be very dicey with the winds this week. I think that's where a guy like Cameron Smith, if he can get it to the green in regulation, watch out for an extreme long shot like Cameron Smith. So I like both cams this week for very different reasons. I think the game is there clearly for Cameron Young. I'm always concerned about the off the tee game for Cameron Smith, but every other part of the game, I kind of like where he is, played really well at the Masters as well. Jensen, look at both cams this week, possibly in placement markets and beyond. You, sir, do a great job betting the build every week. What'd you do for our national championship?
Okay, so again, for people uninitiated here, the FanDuel showdown opportunities versus the DraftKings lineup are really differentiated by the salary cap. So you get $10,000 more to use on FanDuel, and that's where we traditionally shop at the top. Dave, I went right where you went with Cameron Young and pairing him with Scottie Scheffler. Again, give me the two guys that I feel outside of Rory McIlroy are going to be right there in the fight to the end. Of course, we know that the motivation for Scottie is to win the career Grand Slam. This is the only tournament left, or as far as a major left, that he has not won yet. The iron and ball striking ability, can it hold up in the windy conditions? It's a super high floor for both those guys. As it is with Russell Henley, right? You want to talk about one of the great ball strikers and one of the great guys of accuracy in the game. Add the recent form in there as well as course history. I think we're in great shape. Keith Mitchell, a little cashmere Keith. He's going to need that sweater apparently tomorrow at tee off when it's going to be a bit windy here. But again, it's an upside play for me, as is Adrian Dumont Deschamps. And I think what he and Matty Schmidt bring are you've got Euros. That, yes, they're dart throws, they're going to be low-owned, but they also have an ability, if they make the cut, to make you separate from others. So you could see a lot of chalk Euros, if you will. I went a little bit off the beaten path, and obviously the salary will be reflective of that. My DraftKings lineup, I think you're going to like, because it does spread the value out. And I start with Tommy Fleetwood at the top. And I did go with Ludvig Åberg. Now, I don't need him to win it, but I need him to get to the weekend. If he gets to the weekend, then I think Davey's on house money, and that is great for our lineup. You're going to recognize a little theme here. We went heavy Euro. We went Matty Fitz. We went even to the Far East with Siwoo Kim. And then we got a couple of Americanos in there in Russell Henley and Jake Knapp. I think Siwoo Kim is excellent value here. Really good form, multiple top 10s. He's been in the top 20. I think you look at Knapp as probably the biggest dart throw here. But for that, I get him under 7,000, Dave. I mean, a couple of hot rounds to start, and we're in great shape here. He's a guy that can do that. Of course, I know we've been big on Matt Fitzpatrick. Of course, he's already got a U.S. Open under his belt. Mm-hmm. Henley is an easy add there. So really, if our anchors of Fleetwood, Åberg, and Fitzpatrick carry us, we're in really good shape heading into the weekend.
You know, I love what you've done there. And certainly a couple of names that I want to highlight that you have in your card. Matty Schmid is one for one of your Euros, the German. If you go back to the way he played at Aronimink outside of Philadelphia, yes. He was right there, right on Sunday, charging down, trying to win that thing, let alone, you know, top 10s, top fives. And again, I don't know how similarly it will play to Aronimink, but here's what I do know. It's going to be tough. Tough for me to say the word. It's going to be tough for them to play the course. So that's how it's going to be one of those type of golf courses. And he excelled on a really tough golf course. Russell Henley. And again, I'm not going to give away the store for free here. I've got some picks on Russell coming up later on in the program that we'll get to. But the mentality that it takes, this is a Russell Henley-type golf course, you would think, right? Another guy that can flight it different ways, normally a lower ball flight that he's going to have out there. Whether or not that's really going to be what he needs or not, Scottie Scheffler might differ with what we think and how this golf course will play. But I think Russell Henley at 41-1, by the way, to win this thing too, is not necessarily, if you're looking for a longer shot on the board, I could understand why you might get there with a guy like Russ this week, because it does feel like we talked about checklists of guys that you're looking for that fit the criteria. I think Russell Henley checks a lot of those boxes. And another guy that I thought you had on your card that was interesting to me is Siwoo Kim. I don't know that I would play Siwoo this week, but he is the type of guy for his strokes gain approach that you're looking for, and that could be a big key stat this week. And that's normally when Siwoo is playing his best golf, that's what he's doing. He's going flag hunting, and he's really taking those dart approaches. Now, again, that could be a little bit dangerous on a golf course like this, but Siwoo is one of those guys that really, when he feels like he's in rhythm, he does not shy away from the challenge of any big boy golf course, as this will be. We'll break this down in earnest. You're going to hear from world number one, and whether or not really the Grand Slam is what motivates him. We knew it motivated Rory to win last year and get the job done at Augusta. Is that exactly what's on Scotty's mind? You're going to hear that from, oh, by the way, the birthday boy comes Sunday when he turns 30. We'll get to all that, World Cup, baseball. It's all straight ahead right here. Beeson by the Books.